First of all, I want to, on behalf of the congregation, offer our congratulations to Bob and Antha Stevens. They are celebrating 70 years of marriage this weekend. So when you see them, just put your arm around them and say, thank you for the example. God bless them. Also, just, I guess being a preacher carries a few little perks with it. I get to introduce my guests. Everybody doesn't get to introduce yours, but we do have two families that have come to visit, my family this weekend. The Rayburns from Macomb, Mississippi, and the Stones from all the way up north Mississippi, Columbus, Mississippi, and they got together this weekend and came and, spent some time with Janice and myself. In fact, it's been, we were thinking, about 30 years since we've seen the Stones. And they were at Hattiesburg, Mississippi, the first place that I preached. And so we just have enjoyed talking about old times. They enjoy reminding me of the way things used to be. And, you know, anyway. How many of you brought your Bibles? Hold them up. Hold them up. Good. Good. Thank you. Are bringing your Bibles. How many of you know what a safe haven law is? Safe haven law. Let me see your hand. I wouldn't have known, so don't feel bad about it if I hadn't prepared this. Safe haven is a program that originated actually in Mobile, Alabama in 1998 in response to concerns that were raised by a television station reporter who reported about a series of child abandonment stories. And this program caught on, and it allows new mothers to leave their newborns at an emergency room or police station anonymously without fear of persecution. And as of now, all 50 states have a safe haven law. This particular one is one that is in Boston, Massachusetts, directly across the street from Harvard Medical School. And you can see the sign there. Nebraska was one of the last states to pass this law in July of 2008. And you probably heard of a slight oversight by their legislature. Whenever they were in the process of trying to pass this law, they forgot to include the age of the child that could be dropped off and left in their custody. And before the law could be changed, 36 children were dropped off in Nebraska hospitals, and of those that were dropped off, none of them were infants. 28 of them were older than 10 years old. And parents had begun coming from out of state to drop their children off. And the governor issued a proclamation begging people not to come from out of state and drop their children off. The legislature convened, reconvened as quickly as it could and took care of that loophole. But when you stop and think about this, it's hard to be a kid today. Our children have been robbed of an age of innocence. They've been robbed of their childhood. I personally bemoan that fact. That we have to educate our children about things that they shouldn't have to know. At an age far, far earlier than they should have to be concerned about things like that. And so few children know what it's like to have both a mom and a dad at home who sit down and enjoy a meal together. God intended our homes to be a place of sanctuary from the world. And sometimes children leave home to try to find a place of sanctuary. Home is intended to be a place where we feel safe. Where we feel loved, secure, protected. And if you want a home like that, then you're going to have to listen to God. Because the world can't tell you how to have that kind of home. You're going to have to listen to Him early, and you're going to have to listen to Him consistently. And you're going to have to make up your mind that you're willing to live a lifestyle that is different from everyone else that you know around you. In fact, just this morning, without any knowledge of what I was going to be talking about, someone asked me a question. They said, did you hear the news report this past week that they said that most families have a dog that lives longer than their marriage? That the average age of a dog in a home that's being taken care of a home is 13 years, and the average age of a marriage, a new marriage in our country, is less than 3 years. Let's go to Ephesians and Colossians. We're in the middle of a series of lessons entitled Family Feuding. We've talked about wives' responsibility and husbands' responsibility. And today's lesson was to be on children and parents. But as is really typical of me, I can't get it all in. So this one's going to be for the young folks. And so young folks, I want you to really listen up to this passage. And I want us to look at God's instruction for children. Did you ever realize, young people, that God speaks directly to you in the Bible? There's passage that pertains to you. And God is addressing this specifically to you. And as we set this up and as you read these passages here, and I'm going to keep this up through the lesson here this morning, a question for you as young people. Would you like to live a long life and an enjoyable life? Well, obviously, that's a self-evident truth, hopefully. Then my suggestion to you is that you take what God has to say to you seriously. God tells you two things as you look at these passages. There are two things that you need to remember. The first one is obey your parents. And that presupposes something. And what it presupposes is that you don't know everything. Now, I know that you do know everything, right? We all know that, but there might be a few things that you don't know. And I say that tongue in cheek, and I don't mean to be making fun of you, but your parents know more about life than you and all of your friends put together. Now, I know that you don't believe that at this point, but it's true. They know more about living life because they've lived some of life. And they have gone through some things in life that neither you nor your friends have gone through. And so you can't know those things that they know. And who you listen to when you're young is one of the most important factors that there will ever be in your life that determines how your life is going to go. If you listen to the wrong folks and you take your cue from the wrong folks, then your life is going to move and begin in a direction that's going to lead somewhere you don't want it to go. And so the first instruction that God has to say directly to you, and notice how he starts out, children, obey your parents. He's talking to you directly. And the word obey means to listen to them and to submit to them. And he didn't just say, obey your parents when you feel like it. Look at the Colossians passage. Children, obey your parents in what? Everything. In everything. Now, I know that that's not always fun, but then there are some things in life that are not fun. There are some things that we have to do, and you're learning that in school. There are some courses that you take in school that are not fun at all, but you need, and whether you realize you do at this point or not, at least everybody's telling you that you need these courses to help you out in life. And so the first thing that God has to say to you as young people, and I used to be able to say to us as young people, but that's getting kind of ridiculous at this point in my life. The second thing that God tells you to do is honor your father and your mother. And you know what it means to honor your father and your mother? By the way, that's the same word that is used for to have reverence toward God and Christ. And so the word revere or honor comes from the same word, sometimes translated from the same word. And it means to acknowledge and respect their authority. God put you in your home because that's the home He wanted you in. And God put you under your parents. And you know, one of the really interesting things is that we all submit. And whenever we're growing up as a young person, it just seems like, well, hey, I'm the only one doing the submitting around here. But that's not true. Not if this is a Christian home. We're all submitting. And that's been our major point through this whole thing. And it means to acknowledge and respect their authority. And I have to admit to you, young people, it would really be nice if mom and dad always acted honorably. It would be easier to honor them. But unfortunately, we as parents don't always act honorably. And we're still trying to get our act together too. And sometimes we do some things that we shouldn't do and say some things that we shouldn't say. But God says, even when your parents don't act honorably, you honor them anyway. That's really important. Because if you only do what you want to do when you feel like doing it, then there's going to be a lot of things you're going to leave out of your life that are really, really important. And you say, well, why should I have to do this? Why should I have to honor my parents and they don't act very honorably much of the time? And why should I have to listen to them and obey them? Well, let me give you two motivations. No, let me back up. Let God give you two motivations. The first one is, and this is kind of a little secret, it's not for your parents' good, it's for your good. Now I know that sounds trite to you. And I know you hear that kind of stuff all the time, you know. But God said this. In fact, He says, this is, and look at the context here in Ephesians, this is the first commandment that carries a promise. What's the commandment? Look at it in Ephesians 6. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. So obey and honor. And He says, this is the first commandment that carries with it a promise. And what's the promise? Well, read it. You can see it for yourself. That it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. And you say, is that a guarantee that if I honor and obey my parents and I'm going to live long on the earth and I'm going to enjoy a long life and go well with me? Well, I'm going to let you take that up with God because God made that promise. But I'm going to suggest to you that you give God the opportunity to prove that to you. I mean, really, when you stop and think about it, what have you got to lose? This is God making this promise. He says this commandment is the first commandment that carries with it a promise. That if you'll do this, and I'll do so and so. And you know, sometimes we try to make loopholes for God just in case He can't come through with it. I'll let God take care of God's business. He made that promise with that commandment. And if I were you, I'd think seriously about claiming that promise that God's made available to you. And then there's another motivation. He says, and if you stop and look at motivations in life, sometimes motivations have to do with what's in it for me. And sometimes they have to do with my relationship to other people. And you have both of these things. What's in it for me? Well, God offers you a promise. You can claim that promise or not claim that promise. That's your decision. But God, every generation, every young person that comes down the pike, He says, hey, I'll make a deal with you. You do this, I'll do this. Your choice. You take God up on it or not. Then there's another motivation, and I put both of these passages together, obey your parents, for this is right. And you know, when it really comes down to it, and if you have some maturity about you, that's a good enough motivation. Why should I do this? Because it's the right thing to do. And then in the other passage it says, do it. Why? Because this pleases the Lord. Are you concerned about making the Lord happy? Are you concerned about pleasing the Lord? You want Him to look favorably on your life? You want him whenever you have difficulties in your life, you want to be able to come to him and talk to him and expect him to respond to it, then maybe we better be concerned about what he thinks about us. And so he says, you obey your parents, you honor your parents, even when you don't feel like it, even when they don't always act honorably. He said, because this is right, and it makes me happy to see you do that. It pleases me. And to every one of us, do we yet, hopefully we notice by this point, that everybody submits. Husbands do, wives do, children do, and we're going to see that parents do. Everybody in the family submits. And if you, young people, if you want to please God and have a good, rewarding life, then this is where it all begins, right here, right here. Listening to your parents, giving them honor, and obeying what they tell you to do. You've probably heard me say in the past that whenever you train something like an animal or someone, and I don't, that's not offensive, at least it's not to me, because there are some parallels in training someone or something, then it requires both positive and negative motivation. And we've talked about a motivation, what's in it for me, and then what about my relationship with God. But God knows that that's not always enough. That sometimes we come to a point in our life where self just wants to do what self wants to do, and we just get this rebellious attitude, and there are some things out there that we want to try and some things that we want to do, and we're making a decision, and we're weighing, what's it going to cost me? What am I going to get out of it? What effect is this going to have on me and the people around me and my future and so forth? And God wants you to weigh all of those things as you make decisions. And so he knows that you can make it pleasant for someone to do the right thing. And that will take us a certain distance down the road. Now, you know, this is, I just don't know of any other parallel that really illustrates it except the one that I know. It's like training a bird dog. And you're training that dog and you try to teach them and you try to make it plain to them what you want them to do and you make it pleasant for them to do it. When they do what you want them to, then you give them a treat. You give them a reward. And they learn, hey, this is a good deal. But when you're dealing with a bird dog, and particularly when you're dealing with a male bird dog, and I don't know if we can keep drawing a parallel here, but particularly a male bird dog, he gets to a point where he knows what you want him to do, but he just makes up his mind he's going to do something different. And offering him a treat won't change his mind. You have to change tactics at that point. And there are some people that don't like this, but you have to inflict a bit of pain on him. Not only do you have to make it pleasant for him to do what's right, but at some point you have to make it unpleasant when he does something wrong. God knows that. And so he gives us, he makes it pleasant. He offers us this promise. And he tells us about the relationship with himself, but he also knows that there needs to be another motivation out there somewhere. And God has some really harsh things to say to children who decide that you don't want to honor and obey your parents. Listen to some of them. Anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be put to death. Is that pretty serious? Anyone who curses his father or his mother must be put to death. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Now, you understand what that picture says? If a vulture is picking your eye out and eating your flesh, what does that mean? It means you're dead. God is pretty serious about this thing about giving honor to and obeying your parents. And young folks, you need to make up your mind early that when God says something, he means it. There are many folks in this world who are having some really serious, painful problems in their life, and they do not know that the reason that they're having those problems is because of the attitude that they do or have displayed toward their parents. They haven't made the connection that the reason for all their problems is they didn't listen to their mom and dad. They didn't give them honor. and their life is miserable, and they don't have a clue why. And they're busy blaming everybody else in the world when the problem is, God said, here's where you started off. Here's the foundation that you lay. When the children of Israel finally made it into the promised land, one of the things that God had designed for them to do was to divide up into two teams. And one team get on the face of one mountain, and the other one get on the face of the other mountain, Gerizim and Ebal. And one was called the mountain of blessing, the other was called the mount of cursing. And the people who lined up on Mount Gerizim shouted out the blessings that the Lord promised if they would obey him. And whenever they would, this whole half of the people, one team, would shout out this blessing, and all the people would say, amen. And so in this valley, it just resounded with this amen. And then the people on the other mountain would pronounce the curse that God had said for disobedience. That if we don't obey God, then this is what's going to happen. And all the people would shout, amen. And I want you to hear the first two curses. The first two. It's in Deuteronomy 27, beginning in verse 15. Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol and sets it up in secret. Then all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the man, number two, who dishonors his father and his mother, and all the people will say, amen. You see, every relationship that you will ever have for the rest of your life is built on your obedience to this one command. Your relationship to your parents. That means your relationship future with a husband or a wife. It means your relationship with your children. It means your relationship to authority for the rest of your life. It means a relationship to your friends. Every relationship that you will have for the rest of your life is built on this foundation. You need to build it well. You need to listen to what God has to say. And when you get tired of submitting, remember this. Everybody submits. We all do. That's the secret to relationships, is that we submit. And we all submit to God, and we accept our God-ordained role in our lives and in our homes. Young people, God wants to bless your life. He really does. God's not against you. He wants to bless your life. And he's offering you that blessing. He offers you a promise. And you accept that offer by obeying him. And so, young people, and this is, if any of us are a little older, we can listen to this too. If you're not a Christian, you need to be a Christian before you leave this building. You need to submit your life to God. And you have that opportunity this morning. That if you know that Jesus Christ is God's Son and you're willing to stand before men and confess that, he said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. And you realize that you have sinned, and that sin has separated you from God, and you're sorry about that. You want to change your life, then that's called repentance. And you can make up your mind to do that very thing today. And then God will take care of all of your past sins. In Romans chapter 6, you'll be united with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. In the grave of baptism. And you'll leave that sinful self in that water. And you'll rise to walk a new person. God will give you a brand new sheet of paper. And we've messed our lives up. And God offers us a fresh start. And if you're a Christian, and you've been listening to the wrong voices in life, and you know that you've not been honoring and obeying your parents, and God wants you to repent of that. He wants you to tell your parents that you're sorry. And he wants you to know that everything from this day on in your life depends on you getting this thing right. And he's given you an opportunity to respond while we stand and sing. Won't you?